Welcome, witches. How are you all doing? We are back at it again, and we have a great show for you this week. We are talking about two very, very interesting and introspective tarot cards this week. We are talking about the Hanged Man versus the Hermit. Hope you enjoy, and as always, we are so glad that you are listening. Enjoy. Shit. Here we are again. It is hot as fuck in this room, so disrobing. Chicka chicka. I didn't just do that. Oh my god, I'm so old. Hi, what's up with you?
Not much. What is up with you?
I want to tell you that I'm a little depressed today.
Why? Why is this?
Because I went to the Palace of Fucking Depression.
Oh no.
And you cannot get in. It's
that's depressing.
So it's like right off the road, which, okay, but the road is kind of busy. It's right next to a Wawa, which for those of you that have not lived here, that is the QT of the north. I used to say it's a poor man's QT. They're kind of upscale now. They're coming into their own, the Wawas. But again, fun fact about New Jersey, you never have to pump your own gas. It's the best.
It's illegal. You cannot. You are not allowed.
You literally cannot. And I will say one of the major features of moving here, not that I can't pump gas. Of course, I have lived all my life pumping my own gas, but it is so nice to not have to get out of the car when it's cold. It's the best. Anyway, so I went, I tried to kind of like, well, first of all, you can't really see it. You drive past it and you're looking for it and it's kind of set off the road. But there's all these like outbuildings next to it that are more modern. And what this is, we've talked about it a little bit before, but it's like a stone house, possibly also made of garbage. I'm very confused about what it is, but it's like a cute little stone house. And I want to get up close to it, but they have it like super cordoned off and like all these no trespassing signs or whatever. And that street was really busy. So I'm going to go back when it is not the nicest day we've had in 2 weeks and see if I can get a little closer and get some pictures. So that was my adventure this morning, but not much of an adventure. Anyway, that happened. What else?
Not much. I just went and voted for some municipal bullshit.
So. Excellent. We are also having an election. I must find out where to go. Yeah. So do you have some good, is it like local, Collin County stuff?
No, it was like cities. It's really boring. It's just like school board and
those are important
stuff. Yeah, it is important. It's just not a great story.
No, that's true. But it is very important to vote, especially at that local level, because those are the motherfuckers that are voting for banning books and shit.
Absolutely.
So we don't want those people. Boo. Also, fun fact, if you don't know, Brooklyn Library, if you are a student and cannot get a book that you want to read because it is banned in your area, you can go on the Brooklyn Library's website and they will give you a digital code to get any book you fucking want. So, like, digitally. But thank you. And I think there's more than just the Brooklyn Library. I think there are other libraries doing that. But gotta have it. Anyway. Yeah. Anything magic happened to you this week?
Not really, no.
What about the, did you see the moon last night?
It was hazy and overcast, so, aww. But we had a really great sunset, so.
Sad times.
It was a flower moon in Scorpio.
Indeed. So I knew it was flower moon in Scorpio, and I was like, okay, I'm going to draw a card because this is like, okay, this moon is like, find your darkness or whatever. So I went to, you know, straight to the source, the Mayhem deck, which is the truth teller. And I got the Masked Stranger. I was like, wow, that's pretty like, I feel like that's really spot on for like trying to find out what your darkest, deepest, scariest parts are, because that's the part you hide. So it's like, why does that deck always know? It's just fucking...
It does always know.
Always knows. But our moon was gorgeous. It was beautiful. It was behind some like really like dark clouds. So it was like, you know, like kind of spooky Halloween looking moon. It was great. And then the devil's lost. So...
Yes.
That was a sad time for me.
It was sad. I realized I wasn't, because the last two games they played, I have this crop top that says, you know, it's the I Heart NY.
Did you not wear it?
Thing. No. But see, I have one that says I and that has Oscar the Grouch's face.
Okay.
And then NY. And then I honestly don't really know what that means. I just got it because I love Oscar the Grouch.
Yes.
But I assume it means like I trash New York or I grouch New York.
I grouch New York.
So, yes. But it's negative, definitely. So I wore that just by coincidence and they won. So maybe I need to bring the Oscar shirt back.
If you would, I would.
Although they were playing New York, so maybe it's only good as against the Rangers.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not. But I feel like it's pretty central to the Devil's identity to always be mad about the Rangers.
I think that's a good call. I don't know. Yeah, I have hope for your Stars, though. They were looking good. They looked like a different team between game one and game two. This is not hockey talk with Scarlet and Blackbird, but it is for 2 seconds. Anyway, they looked great.
It is X-rated with Scarlet and Blackbird. And we talk about hockey and
witchcraft.
Sad places.
And witchcraft.
And also witchcraft.
Yes. Welcome to X-rated. Here we are. We are not going to do a 20-minute lead-in like we did last time. Let's get right into the meat of it, if you want. What are we doing? What are we doing today?
You mentioned that there was a Scorpio moon last night, and you came up with the idea of maybe doing some of the like more on-theme, darker or mysterious tarot cards.
Yes.
So we are going to do another of our versus series of the Hermit versus the Hanged Man. Two guys that are having a solo party that is not enjoyable. I don't know, maybe the Hermit is, but
that's kind of the best. I really like that description. They are muy sad.
They are very focused on their own
situation
journey, and you're not really invited.
No one's invited. That's a fucking fact,
which is very Scorpio moon stuff, both of these guys.
It's true. Yeah, this is really timely. I didn't even think that this would actually, you know, fit with what's going on in the season. Yeah. So,
well, you asked to do because you the Hermit is one of your other favorite cards.
Yes,
besides the Empress. And so I don't know if you want to like just preface a little bit by talking about your relationship with that card or anything.
Sure.
And then maybe take it away with some basic hermit facts.
Basic hermit facts. Well, I will say I draw this card a lot in everything I do. Really anything that's pertaining to me, I do tend to draw it a lot, just because, and you know, this is very, you know, now in retrospect, it really seems, I mean, on point, right? Like, this is my whole journey with Hecate and, you know, this tattoo, and not just that, but before that, where I've just really, honestly, since I quit drinking, I've done nothing kind of but introspection. There's not a whole lot of community activity going on. It's a lot of solitude, a lot of
and this was pre-pandemic. This was already in motion, this lifestyle.
Oh, yeah.
And then
very much
then it
so.
Was forced hermiting.
Yeah, I think, well, and I was thinking about I was thinking a lot about childhood trauma this week, and you know, like you do. And I was really forced to spend I guess now as an adult, I'm like, I was lucky to spend most of my time by myself. Like, kind of like you, my sister was out of the house by the time I was 8 or 9. So I was alone a majority of the time, which for me was pretty great most of the time. But it also gave me kind of a weird social identity. Like, I wasn't always the popular kid. And that was also fine, but parts of that were kind of painful, depending on where I was living at the time. We moved around a lot. And in Utah, that was pretty painful, because a lot of the other moms and dads wouldn't let their kids play with me because I wasn't Mormon. So, you know, fuck to the no for that religion. But
yeah.
But I think my like solitude situation kind of started like not as my like I wanted to, but kind of like I was just in that position. So I think at a young age, I learned how to start being super introspective, like to really relate myself to books, and not use them as an escape, really, but to use them as a means of self-exploration, or psychological.
Well, just, I mean, entertainment, basically. That too. I mean, yeah. I can speak to that as an only child. My mom was an only child and a librarian. So exact same situation. Yeah. Like when you're an only child, and I didn't have a lot of kids in my neighborhood and stuff. So just being in the house, it's a lot of alone time. Yes. I mean, obviously my parents were there. I wasn't like left unsupervised, but they're doing their own. It's a lot of parallel play, you know, where I was kind of separately doing my own thing. And a lot of it was reading. Like I would go to the library with my mom and we would just spend hours there. Like I would just be like sit in a corner with a book and be looking at different stuff. Yep, and
same.
excuse me.
It's okay.
So that was a big part of my childhood. And this is before I wasn't allowed to have video games.
Right.
They were just like home consoles were becoming a thing. But my mom was like, you should read a book. Video games will rot your mind, which was sad as a child, but it was probably for the best. So that was like my main entertainment. You know, I mean, there was a lot of like, you know, I played with my dinosaurs. I rode my bike. I did some art, but like reading was a big part of occupying my free time.
Same.
So yeah.
Yeah. And I think not just reading for me, but I think even at a young age, I was writing too. Either writing like things that I thought about because of the books or writing like little stories that I made up or, you know, later on, probably I would say more in the early high school, late high school era, writing a lot of poetry, probably not good poetry, just saying, but, you know, like things that take introspection. So I've kind of been like this weird, solitary, introspective person my entire life, pretty much. Not a bad thing. Pretty awesome, actually. I love being alone. And I know that's like hard for friends and family to hear, but I really do enjoy my time alone. I am never, well, I don't want to say never. I am very rarely lonely or like sad because I'm alone. I may be sad because of other things, but I'm not sad because I'm alone. And that was true even when I wasn't like with somebody or dating somebody or whatever. I like to be alone because I get to do whatever the fuck I want. And that's the best. I don't know. And I mean, I can do that with people too, but I don't have to consider anybody, which is awesome.
Well, I don't, but that's because I'm an Aries and I'm an asshole. But it's interesting that you identify with the hermit card very much because I wouldn't say that I do, but in hearing you describe being like a bookish child, I certainly have a lot of that, even though I tend to consider myself more of like a social like I love to be the center of attention.
Right.
I was voted life of the party 3 times in a row by our derby league. You know, I tend to think of myself as being sort of in the spotlight all the time or performing, but I do spend a massive amount of time alone. I am an only child, so I'm used to just kind of sitting quietly and reading. And to your point, I think when you grow up being sort of bookish at a young age, it does kind of set up a pattern for the rest of your life. Even though I became more social and less of an outcast and not the weird goth girl everyone made fun of, I think being like a quiet reader as a child, like you kind of give off a different, it's sort of a self-perpetuating identity.
Well, I think that what's interesting, I think we have something similar because, so here's the deal, like just because I feel this way inside, that is not necessarily the person I project when I'm around a bunch of people or the person that people see. Because I also was voted like in the 7th, 8th grade, I got like most popular and like most likely to succeed. Like I was a very outgoing introvert. Like, I don't know what the fuck that is, but I think people are like drawn to people that give off that air that I don't need you. You know what I mean? Like, if you're a person that likes to be by themselves, people kind of want a piece of that. Like, they're a little jealous that you're fine being by yourself.
Does that make sense? Hard to get.
Yeah.
Well, and also being the opposite, being a people pleaser tends to get you into sticky situations and yes. tends to set you up to be sort of taken advantage of.
Right.
Not that there aren't downsides to being a hermit, but no, it does give you kind of a mystique. When you're young, it's kind of a disadvantage because I was sort of this weird, like sort of Wednesday Addams kid where for an elementary school age child, I was very serious and sardonic and same. Weird.
Yes.
Now I am exactly the same, except as a 41-year-old adult, I'm a spaz because it's just when you're a child and you have that personality, it's weird and very adult because I was only ever around other adults or like reading and stuff. So, yeah.
No, same. So it just, I think too, like my identity was, you know, conflicted for many reasons, but like I was also like, I had, you know, quite a bit of, because of the like abject neglect of my parents, you know, they weren't around a lot or they were doing their own thing a lot, leaving me to my own devices. So I was this kind of, I wanted to please them when they were around. So I had a bit of this codependency, people pleaser nature. But that didn't really come into play in school until later. And that was almost like a mask that I could take on and off whenever I wanted. I don't know if that makes a lot of sense, but like,
no, it does.
Yeah. Like I could be friends with people if I wanted or not. It was kind of like,
yeah,
it's well, and it's really like, not that we're kind of getting, I don't know if this is way off topic, but like, it's hard to navigate when you're an adult because I think in my work relationships and whatever, people have been very weird about like, we're friends. And I'm like, I mean, we are, but like, I also just come to work to work. I'm not here to be best friends with people. Now, if we become friends outside of work, cool. But like during work time, that doesn't mean we're necessarily BFFs. Does that make sense? Like, people have been really offended my whole life about that. Like, I thought we were friends. I'm like, well, I mean, we know each other from work. I don't know.
That's hilarious because my scale of affection for people is like, I'm very guarded about giving people a lot of like my emotional currency if they're not in my inner circle. So like, I'll be civil and polite. Like my version is, well, I'm not like punching you or like berating you to your face. So that means we're okay.
We're okay. Yeah.
But other people see that as being like cold or aloof or whatever. Mm-hmm. But getting back to the
let's get back to the card. Yes.
The
yes.
Hermit.
So I identify with the card a lot. And just a few, you know, few random facts. Like I pulled like both of these cards from about four different decks. So I'm just going to take a look at some of the images. I mean, it's usually an older gentleman, usually bearded. He usually has a lantern. And the typical meanings of this card are things we've just talked about. Introspection, taking time for yourself, being in solitude. Let's see. You know, having a time to reflect, seeking the truth at all costs, meaning shutting yourself off from society in order to seek that truth. Some of the interesting things that I found out is this card was not always depicted as a hermit or as an old man, but it wasn't the hermit. It was time. It was Chronos. And he had an hourglass, not a lantern. So the card kind of morphed.
And his staff was a sickle.
Right. Exactly. Do you want to talk a little bit about that? Or do you, I mean.
Well, I mean, it's not surprising. They kind of overlap. I mean, the iconography of like old man time, like Father Time being a sort of more folk version of Saturn or Chronos.
Right.
Is is totally on brand with the hermit. The iconography is very similar. So if you look at cards where this is Kronos, it looks almost identical.
Yes, yes.
And it's got a lot of the same ideas of this someone that's older from like a previous generation, Kronos being a Titan.
Right.
Being the god of time, sort of having this extensive knowledge of the past, but also maybe some kind of mystical knowledge of the future, sort of being the other side of that coin.
Right.
The monk, being the solitary. Monk, yeah. Yeah.
The monk iconography. Why can't I say that word? Iconography kind of took over during the Marseille deck. And then it was called the contemplation card. So all of the attributes were kind of already there, but then they just morphed into this monk character instead of Kronos with his hourglass. So I thought that was interesting.
And I think that the hermit character, just like, you know, the long bearded guy with like a little traveler's cap and like robes and a staff and like a lantern. I think to a lot of people, that's going to look kind of like a wizard or Gandalf, which is not surprising because... Gandalf is inspired by Odin in his guise as the Wanderer, who has basically all these same attributes. He usually has a long beard. Right. He has a traveler's cap or that kind of looks like a wizard cap or a hood. And he carries like a spear or a staff. And
yeah, it's like he's going somewhere, right? He's going on a journey. It's a metaphysical journey, but he's going on a journey.
But this idea of being sort of... itinerant, or you know, like you think of a hermit going off into the wilderness or a cave or something, somewhere remote and very austere. So the idea of Odin as the wanderer fits in with that. So there's a lot of overlap with sort of our general myths about wizards or Odin or hermits or monks
or Father Time, you know, when he goes off into the desert, the Jesus.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're thinking about Christianity, but of course, hermetic lifestyles are also in other religions. So in Hinduism and Buddhism,
for sure,
like ascetic masters, people who deliberately isolate themselves and give up all their possessions and purposely endure all these austerities to kind of... focus on their spiritual journey
secretly. I want to do that.
Oh my god. See, sometimes I'm like, man, if I went to jail, I would get so much reading done.
There's like times where I'm like, I see movies where there's just like, you know, Buddhists on a hill in a temple just chanting all day. I'm like, oh, I want that. I want it so hard. But when I and it's not like you can just be like, all right, I did that for a couple of days, I'm good, see ya. Can I have my phone anyway? Another theory was that the card was also related to the Prudence card, which Prudence being a cardinal virtue and is left out of the major arcana. So it was kind of like, was this card really, did this morph from the Prudence card? Prudence was a card and it was portrayed by a female figure. So I thought that was very interesting that this might have just, you know, morphed over time to be like, oh, we're not going to put that cardinal virtue in. Let's put this other, let's make it a dude. I don't know. Anyway, so basically anytime I get this card, it really typically depends on cards around it. But if it's just like a few card spread or like just a single pull, I mean, this card to me totally means you need to take some time for yourself. You need to think about shit and you need to think about it real hard and real deep. And you need to get away from people. Not that people are bad. You just need to be by yourself to think about stuff. And I find this card, like nobody wants this card. Nobody wants this but me. It just seems like whenever I pull this card, if I'm reading for somebody, they tend to look at that and then throw that advice right the fuck out the window. Like they just want somebody else's opinion. I think it's, and maybe it's just the time we live in, I think it is very hard for people to get that quiet time. I meet so many people that are like, I cannot meditate, I cannot sit still for that long, I just can't, I can't do it. I'm like, you can or you won't. Like, look, it's not fun starting out, you don't know what the fuck you're doing, But like, if you just let it happen, or like you've said, you meditate in the bathtub, or it doesn't have to be traditional, like sit on a cushion and close your eyes. And it, like, you can meditate in like a million different ways. And I just think people don't want to give that a chance. And so this is my challenge to you is see. And I think the people that are probably drawn to this podcast are more introspective than most. But I really think people have a hard time looking at themselves and not focusing completely on your flaws, you know, and that's not what this card is about. This card is about like almost listening to, like, even on a deeper level than intuition, listening to the actual truths of your soul. The end. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. I agree with all of that.
Say more.
I tend to not get the hermit very often. Sometimes when I do, there's also, and this is going to get into the nuts and bolts of tarot reading, which isn't really the
that's okay
purview of this particular discussion, but sometimes I get it more as I need to ask somebody, go find a hermit get a teacher.
Sure.
Because I tend to be the hermit myself. I want to learn everything myself. And sometimes I need to seek out somebody who would give me that guidance. Normally, the Hierophant, which I get sometimes too, but I tend to really not respond well to, because I see the Hierophant as being sort of more dogmatic and representing organized religion.
Right.
So I always sort of balk at getting that card.
Hermit seems better because it's like you're going to go talk to Gandalf.
Yeah, I would love to go talk to Gandalf.
That totally makes it, well, you know, he's smoking that fancy shit. You know, that makes a lot of sense. And right, the hermit doesn't always have to be you. It can be somebody that, you know, as all cards, embodies the hermit-like lifestyle that you must seek out and maybe gain truth from that person. So, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But that would be context clues of, is it saying that you need to seek out somebody who you sort of have to earn their trust, right, and demonstrate that you were worthy of their teachings and whatnot? Or is it you that you need to kind of go on sabbatical and take some time for yourself? But that would be kind of contingent on the rest of the spread.
Right, right. Yeah, so we thought we'd like kind of compare. Well, this, I don't know if compare and contrast a little, but to me, the Hanged Man is a different card. And tell us why. I mean, yes, they are both on their journeys of sadness, but...
Two big similarities would be, one, the connection to the prudence virtue, because I've also read that the Hangman was one of the versions of prudence.
How about that?
And when prudence is depicted, it's usually like a woman or an angel. And I've seen cards where she's kind of lifting up her skirt and doing like a little... like kind of a little picking up one of her feet because there's a snake.
Oh, right.
So it's,
yes,
it's symbolizing prudence in the sense that you are aware of your surroundings. You know when to retreat, like,
so avoid the things on the
she's
floor.
She's trying to step over this snake.
Right.
So being sort of more like circumspect and careful and looking before you leap sort of stuff. And because of that, if you look at the Hanged Man card is very, very stylized. I'm speaking of the Waite Smith one in particular, but he's usually depicted hanging by one foot as opposed to his neck. Right. So he's hanging upside down, and he is usually crossing one of his legs, the one that's free, in sort of like an upside down tree pose, right, sort of situation. And if you flip that over, it's kind of similar to the gesture that the prudence figure is making of sort of sidestepping, of doing this sort of cross of the leg. So that could be considered a reference, yeah, to that original card. Some other fun facts about this particular card is, so in medieval Italy, it was common to hang people by the foot as a punishment, particularly for being a traitor. And in some decks, the card is called the Traitor as opposed to the Hangman. However, it is usually the interpretation is not one of someone who is a criminal or someone who is being punished or has betrayed his community or whatever. It's usually that he is going on this spiritual journey. And it's a... It's sort of because he's between the hermit and death. It's sort of somebody who's like in between those two worlds, especially the fact that he's hanging by his foot. I often think about the idea of like having one foot between the worlds.
Oh, yeah.
So somebody that is like sort of in this stasis of they're not alive. They're not dead. They're literally just hanging out.
It sounds very Odin like.
Yeah. Well, of course, that was I was going to say the other similarity is that Odin famously hung himself from the tree of life to gain knowledge. So there's another Odin connection there. So I sort of see a story of these characters sort of taking this inward journey a step further and a step further. So the hermit, you know, renounces his possessions, goes off into the mountains and isolates himself. The hanged man is taking that journey one step further by sort of enduring this feat of physical endurance and discomfort,
like almost like the
upside down,
like an ultimate sacrifice almost for that knowledge.
But no, I mean, he's not meant to be seen as a martyr necessarily.
Right.
It's sort of just a spiritual inward journey. And the Waite Smith deck kind of emphasizes that element of it as opposed to being some sort of traitor or someone who's being punished by the fact that he has a golden halo radiating out from his face. And he has like sort of a calm or serene, expression. One of the other things that I had actually never noticed, but when I was reading Waite's Key to the Tarot, his descriptions of it, the wood is made of living wood. So if you look at the classic Pamela Coleman, Pamela Smith's illustration, you'll see that the first of all, it's a tau cross, so it's not like a plus sign cross, it's a T. Second of all, it's got vines and stuff, foliage coming down from the top, and also some shoots on the trunk. So it is a living tree,
right?
Which to me ties back to Odin again, this idea of hanging from a living tree, and also directing you away from the idea of he's going to be hung to death as opposed to like it being a state of being and not necessarily being a death sentence.
Right.
So those two things are very similar about the hermit and the hanged man, which is why I thought it would be fun to compare and contrast them or versus.
But I do feel like the hanged man has... You know, I completely agree with that. It's like taking the hermit's journey one step further. But I do think that the hangman for me, at least when I read it, means surrender, like letting go, like being.
Yeah, I mean, the hermit is presumably voluntarily embarking on this. The hanged man, it's unclear how he ended up there. You know, he could have done this to himself voluntarily, or he could have been forced in this situation. It's sort of this idea of accepting or like surrender, this idea of whether he hung himself to do this acrobatic feat or not. At some point you have to dig deep and just sort of get into a zone and to endure it. So
yeah, I don't know, like I always feel like it just means like you have to give up your control of the situation and just like for lack of a better phrase, let it all hang out. Basically, just like, I didn't say
hang
that.
In there, kitten.
Hey, little kitten. Like when we most like almost when you want something so bad, that's when you need to just release, you know, because you're not like you're not going to force things.
Correct. It's definitely for me. I always interpret it as like a meaning of stasis. Like you need to let things breathe. You need to just wait.
Yeah.
And I get this card for other people's readings a lot, usually when people are asking me the same question over and over, because it's like, slow yo roll, please. Like, just hang out, just wait. And the other advice I often give, which is really cheesy but easy to remember, is to look at things from a different perspective.
Yes, that's like, exactly what I was going to say. Yes.
Literally hanging upside down.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
look at things from a different angle. Right.
Yes.
Right.
Well, and also, like, as someone who's deeply impatient, the idea of having to wait, it feels very passive.
Yeah.
It feels like you're just sort of treading water. But you can also take it as an opportunity to do these thought exercises, to think of things from a different perspective, or
right.
like play around with your closeness to this situation. Like, can you generate some objectivity, or can you play around with your subjective analysis of it, or see it from different perspectives? So, being in stasis or waiting or being patient or being prudent doesn't necessarily mean just like sitting there with your head in the sand like an ostrich.
Right.
You can be active mentally or spiritually in your observation. You know, you can be an active observer. And so it doesn't mean just waiting, which
right.
I think is a really important meaning to the card.
Like, you can still be moving forward by standing still, basically. You're still moving forward in your mind, but you have decided to pause and think about what everything, you know, there's still progress being made, like, I think is what I'm trying to say.
So we talked last time when we did Priestess versus Empress about how I used a random quote generator to generate some quotes for these guys, and they're really interesting. So tell me what you think the fuck this means.
I can't wait.
So for Hanged Man, my quote was, "Mediocre men often have the most acquired knowledge," by Claude Bernard. So mediocre men often have the most acquired knowledge. So the idea of that have knowledge through experience, that it's not acquired, it's not book smarts,
right?
That it's and that's mediocre people only just have this like surface knowledge. They can like parrot back facts and things, but I interpret this quote as being a sort of a dig at that, you know, non-mediocre people or interesting or captivating people have experienced knowledge. So this idea of you have to actually like work for and find and digest the knowledge yourself. And that's what the Hanged Man means. You know, that you have to like really sweat it out and,
I like
with this knowledge. You know, it's a very yogic kind of outlook. This idea of like sinking into a pose and finding the rest and the invigoration in that,
right?
As opposed to which also kind of contrasts or pairs with the hermit. I often think of like a wizard or somebody having a lot of book knowledge, like lore of like spell books and stuff, but the hermit is also you know, he's not a student, he's not in a university.
No,
he's like in the school of life, like out in his hermit cave or whatever. So both of these figures, I think, have a lot to do with, you know, it's like riding a bike. Like, I could read all about the physics of how a bike works, or read about people talking about how they learned to ride a bike or describing it to me, but that will not help me ride a bike.
No, that's
at
true.
All.
No.
The only way you can do it, like learn to ride a bike, is to get on a bike and do it.
I was thinking about that quote. Okay, mediocre men have the most acquired knowledge, right? That's the quote.
Yes.
So what if that means, what if that also means, or could possibly mean, that people that are not seeking fame, fortune, you know, otherwise mediocre, otherwise like average people, are not trying to experience, but are trying to take in knowledge on a different level. I don't know. Like, I'm trying to make it to where mediocre men is not a bad thing. You know what I mean? Like,
that's interesting, because of course, like, to me, mediocre is like the gravest insult.
Well,
ever.
Sure. Yes.
But that's like my own personal problem. Of, like I said, I love to be the center of attention and stuff, but, Yeah, so mediocre men often have the most acquired knowledge.
Like, maybe they're busy being mediocre because they're not out doing a bunch of shit. They're just, like, sitting around reading things, which is, like, I mean, let's be honest. I am special. I know it. But I'm not always trying to be the center. I'm not seeking fame or fortune. I just, like, want to kind of, like, live my life. But also, I am probably more introspective than the average person. So... But is that, like, acquired knowledge, right? That to me, introspective knowledge is acquired. I'm not, like, there's nothing I can experience that can make me go deep inside of myself. Does that make sense? Dude, I don't even know if I'm making
sense. Yeah, no, that I'm glad that you bring that perspective because I, of course, I'm, like, famous for using my own Aries self to alter the meaning of quotes, like, like, for example, pride goes before a fall. I interpret that as being when your pride goes, you fall.
I love it. No, and of course that makes
sense. So whole concept of prudence is foreign to me is what we're saying.
No, I enjoy the different perspective because I think you can read it in, like, many different ways. I don't think it just has to have one meaning. So give me another quote and let's see if we can fucking...
Okay, here's my hermit quote.
I'm ready.
Okay, bore, a noun, defined as a person who talks when you wish him to listen, by Ambrose Bierce. So a bore, a person who talks when you wish him to listen.
Yeah.
That's what a boring person is.
I love that. I don't know. It's
so it... that, I mean, that's great because I think of the hermit as being, you know, he's seeking out complete solitude.
Yes.
And I interpret, if you're seeking out the hermit, to me, this would be advice for the student,
the seeker,
or
right.
the acolyte, the seeker, that you should avoid being a bore, that you should
shut the
listen
fuck up. Right.
When this person is speaking to you, and be an observer and take in this information.
Yes. I agree.
So basically an adjuration to listen.
Yeah.
Is what you should be doing.
Sure. It is hard. I'm going to, like, relating this to modern day life in the endless amount of fucking Microsoft Teams meetings I have to have. It is very hard sometimes as a person that is quote unquote a leader. Like, I want other people to talk. I don't want to be the one talking, but there is always this weird fucking awkward silence when you're leading the meeting, and it feels like you have to put something in that silence or I'm just gonna fucking explode. I don't know, like, that's just such an awkward time. But, like, as I mean, if I embody the hermit, like I say I do, or like I think I do, like, I should shut up for a second and let those people fill that silence. Like, I don't always need to be the one filling the silence just because I'm the quote unquote, like, leading the meeting. I don't know. I needed to hear that, I guess. It's good.
Right on.
I pulled some images. I pulled images from 4 or 5 different decks, and I wanted to especially talk about my New Wave Tarot deck and who they picked. I'm just going to give you, like, I don't know. I think I should just give you one guess as who the Hangman is. Maybe two. Man. Maybe two.
Well, Ian Curtis.
Yes. Good job.
Oh, no.
I know. It's a little
too
on
soon.
The nose. But it's kind of cool because I don't
Ian
know.
Ian Curtis, the lead singer of Joy Division.
Who actually hung himself.
Who hung himself and completed suicide.
But what's
that.
Great about it is his it's like, I don't know if he's actually the figure on the tree, but his the famous picture, black and white picture of his beautiful blue eyes looking upward, except it's in black and white, is, like, superimposed behind the tree. So that's a pretty rad image. For the I'm not going to make you guess because there's so many people that could be the hermit in new wave goth music. It is Andrew Eldritch from Sisters of Mercy.
Oh,
so,
of course.
Perfect. Yeah. That's a really good one. If you're not familiar with Sisters of Mercy, please go now to your local Spotify and listen to some amazing shit. they're old now, but they are still so amazing. Timeless. Timeless, in fact.
When Lucretia, My Reflection, comes on at the club.
So good.
It's a bop.
So good. Some of the other images I thought were interesting. You know, I've always had the mythic tarot, and I love the image of the hermit because he's completely, completely cloaked with not only a lantern, but also a sickle, but completely ensconced in this beautiful draped garb, which I absolutely fucking love. From the Golden Tarot, I thought this was really interesting. The figure of the hermit also has a little fawn with him, along with his lamp and his staff, and he looks to be in the forest. In the Golden Tarot, also, the Hanged Man looks very much like our dear friend, Jesus. But his, you know, what's interesting is I liked the thing that you pointed out that in the Rider-Waite-Smith deck, the tree is alive. But like in my Mythic Tarot, it looks like this dude is hanging from a cliff of rocks, right? Like that is what that looks like. Or a haystack,
maybe?
Is he
supposed to be... Is it Prometheus?
Maybe. I'd have to
look. Who's the guy that gets his liver eaten out by an eagle every day?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
is that
yeah.
who it's supposed to be?
Maybe. Yes. There's a big eagle about to fucking munch on him. That's true. I didn't think about that. I will look at that. Anyway, those are some images that I pulled. Now you. Or
well,
tell me what you got.
I have, I'm looking at some of my guidebooks. So in the Tarot of the Old Path, they associate the Hermit card with the sign of Virgo and the element of Earth. Like your image of the deer or fawn, he's pictured with a rabbit. So another kind of symbol of like
a docile
youth or innocence.
Creature. Yes.
Have it signifying sort of a desire to learn or curiosity, or someone who's inexperienced, you know, young baby, you know, and wants to learn. And sometimes he's pictured as carrying a book of knowledge.
Good.
And then,
that's okay. I have another image that I wanted to talk about from the Spolia deck.
Ooh, I love that one.
The Hanged Man. Look, it's like you can see his fucking insides. It's like,
ooh.
You can see, and his little, like the Waite-Smith deck has a halo. This guy has all kinds of little red symbols coming out of his upside down head. So it's like, I don't know if you can, I'm trying to hold him up to the camera. It's like, not only can you see his insides, but there's
he's been flayed.
And so. it looks like, honestly, his halo is made of runes, but I'd have to look at that a little more closely.
That would definitely be an Odin reference.
Yes. And the tree is definitely alive that he is hanging from. So I thought that was a really, really cool image. I don't know. It's really neat to look at different decks and how they depict the same imagery. I always think that's fun.
I'm going to look at my big old folder O tarot.
Look at it.
So you can
vamp while you'd look.
Yeah, please.
I will. I will talk more about these images. Let's see. Let's talk about. So I have this other deck called the Crow Tarot that was given to me by a dear friend just recently. And I have not worked with this deck that much, but it's really interesting because instead of like a typical, you know, people figures, they are crow figures that are doing the hermiting. So in the hermit in the crow deck, the crow is sitting in a real like desolate looking tree with a lantern in its beak, and that's pretty awesome. I like that imagery. And then for the hanged man, the crow is hanging by one foot upside down on a branch, but it looks like he is suspended above a field of poppies, which I think is really, I don't know, it's really beautiful, but also just, I don't know, it's like very stark imagery on both of those. I do like the fact that in the hermit card, the tree that the crow is in looks to be like an autumn to winter tree. Like the leaves are golden, but they're falling, it looks like they're falling off. I don't know, so rad.
So in one of the old medieval decks that I have, there is, in fact, the hermit is holding a book in one hand and a lantern in the other, and he appears to be shining light on a snake that is all twisting and writhing. So like, going back to the image of prudence, avoiding a snake, that is an overlap. In the, I believe it's the Wild Unknown.
Oh yeah.
Popular. It has a tortoise as the hermit, because obviously he can get inside his little shell. And he's got a little oil lamp on top of his shell.
Oh, total aside, did you know that sea urchins will put little hats on?
Yes!
You can
give them silly hats to put on.
And they will put them on their little sea urchin heads. Oh my god. Sorry, I just found that out this week. So...
yeah, I've seen a couple. So I'm looking at these cards. I see several where there's a snake. So that's definitely a reference to the prudence meaning.
Yes.
Some of the other ones that are... I think it's very interesting that you identify with the hermit and there's a ton of Hecate imagery because you've got a lantern. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have a sickle.
Yep.
You have a hooded figure.
Yes.
You have... what else?
Black. Everything's black.
Yes.
Well, I think, you know, and that, again, back to the original, like, start of this discussion, like, that, it's no wonder that I'm drawn to a goddess like that. Like, that is, she is the fucking queen of introspection and getting down to the nitty-gritty of the inside of yourself. I started thinking about, like, you know, this whole concept of look at the darkness inside of yourself, the stuff that really scares you. I'm like, oh, what is the scariest thing I can think of inside of me? And like, then that scared me and I had to quit thinking about it. No, I thought that was really interesting because when you think about stuff that, like, think about maybe, and this is going to get real philosophical for about 30 seconds, but like, think about maybe something that you did that you really, really, really fucking regret. That was like clearly a not good thing. And then think about what was the raw power of that situation? Like, what in that moment that you did that was bad, what was the power there? And what can you learn from that? And I thought that was really interesting. I don't know, interesting thing to explore. I didn't say it was fun. I said it was interesting. So, I don't know. Just
In the Universal Goddess Tarot, it is, in fact, it looks like it. I think it's Hecate.
Well, how about that?
Because there's two dogs, and she's got a torch.
Yeah,
and she's pictured as a crone. So yeah, yes. That would definitely check out. Also, the Hermit card is famously on the cover of a Led Zeppelin album.
Yes. So
that tends to be where a lot of people know it from.
Speaking of, today is the anniversary of the Hindenburg that happened in New Jersey, and that is also the cover of a Led Zeppelin album. So,
weird.
Happy Hindenburg Day, everyone.
Thank you.
Sure.
So, here are some of the cool bits of imagery I found for the hangman in the Wild Unknown. It's a bat because, of course, he hangs upside down.
Okay.
Let's see.
I think it's great how many, like, some of the images are really, really similar and some of them are super different, but they all, like, have the same basic pose.
Yes, I have a Egyptian themed deck that is titled The Sacrifice.
Oh, shit.
Which is an interesting alternate title. This other one I have also has a snake in it. So this guy is hanging upside down and there's like a snake there. So
love
that
it.
That sucks.
What do you think about these two? Do you find, like, to me, the Hanged Man is a very vulnerable card. Like, he is in a very vulnerable position. I find the Hermit a little more guarded and not necessarily, like, laying his situation bare. Like, it's almost, like, it's cloaked, it's hidden, it's deep inside. Does that resonate?
Yes. No, there's definitely an element of it's ambiguous whether the hanged man has chosen this situation for himself or is being subjected to it. I think in either scenario, the interpretation is sort of enduring your circumstance with grace, or trying to contemplate it and not struggle against it. I generally would think that that's terrible advice, because I don't think you should willingly submit to things that make you uncomfortable or you don't want to participate in, but things that are out of your control, that you is a circumstance that you just have to wait out.
Yeah,
I think is a good example of a situation where you can just sort of have a contemplative moment instead of trying to struggle against it. So, but yes, I agree. There's a vulnerability to it. And I like what you were saying about fear. I mean, and that's so weird, because I've been doing these meditation tracks, and one of the exercises that I just started was you, before you begin, the narrator asks you to put all your cares and worries and things in this box, because you won't need them. And it's a really great technique. It's very similar in a lot of different meditation techniques, the idea of setting aside your current worries, the chatter in your mind. This one is helpful because it actually instructs you to imagine putting it in a box, which can be helpful for people.
Yeah.
Instead of just being like, hey, turn off your stupid voice about all the things you're worried about. Right. Duh. So, but in this new exercise, it tells you to actually open up the box and look in and feel fear. The first radiation, they describe it as radiation of fear, and to take it out.
Ooh.
And to feel it, and then feel it get light, and picture it floating away like a little bubble, blah, 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 blah.
Ooh.
And then to reach in again, and then feel the anxiety or the concern or the reason behind that fear that was left underneath.
I love
and
that.
And so then you take that out and you let it float away. And then lastly, you reach in and you find the initial situation. What caused this?
Like right at the bottom of everything.
Yeah. What is the underlying thing?
I need
this.
It's
really difficult it's not super fun.
No.
For me, it was very symbolic. And I reckon if I keep doing it, I'll get more concrete answers, or if I take better notes, I can kind of contemplate it better later.
Can you tell us where to find this series? Because this sounds very intriguing.
Yes, it is. I would love to do, when I kind of complete more of it, is I had started it and I came back to it, but it's the HemiSync TM Gateway Experience.
Ooh, okay.
TM.
All right.
And it has sort of made the rounds on the internet because it was developed, I guess, in the 70s. This guy was very interested in radio and stuff. And basically, it had some out-of-body experiences and combined those two things to study binaural beats.
Oh,
so basically, it's when in one ear hole, you've got one frequency. In the other ear hole, you've got another one. And it's a phenomenon of your brain that if you're hearing both of these tones at the same time, your brain combines them to even it out and give you a middle tone. And experiencing this can actually cause the frequency of your brain waves to imitate this middle tone.
Dude, I'm doing it. I'm on
it. So it's doing it's doing science in the sense that you can like measure it and stuff. In terms of how it's affecting you in a spiritual or parapsychological kind of way, choose your own adventure of what you want to believe. But anyway, the reason why it's made the rounds recently is because when they declassified a bunch of CIA documents a few years ago, there was a whole report, like a 25-page report about they were sending agents to do this program because they thought that it would be helpful to develop, because there were a whole bunch of CIA programs meant to study ESP or telepathy or parapsychological topics, and in particular like remote viewing and stuff, because this is the fucking Cold War.
Yeah, man.
Like if you could go into a trance and like see a Russian Soviet military base and report, but like obviously that would be fucking great intel,
super handy.
Yeah, so basically like what they were trying to do with Eleven and Stranger Things,
right,
which, you know, they, that's definitely based on that, this idea of like, you know, putting her in a sensory deprivation tank and things like that. So anyway, but because of the timing of this report coming out, a bunch of people sort of rediscovered this thing. It's not super cheap. I got the, so it's each series of exercises comes in what's called waves. So there's wave one, wave two. And like, so I'm on wave one. And I really like them. It's pretty similar to a lot of other meditation. This is where we're like way off on
that's
a
okay.
Topic,
no, but I think but we're it, in it.
Yeah, but it's similar to a lot of other meditation techniques in that it has this basic formula of, you know, kind of even your breath, get in a comfortable position, create safe or sacred space. So, for example, they have you put all your worries in this box. And then they have you do this sort of breathing exercise. Mm-hmm. And then they have you do this sort of affirmation, which is basically saying, I deeply desire to like explore and learn about and use and control these energy forces. Mm. And also I desire the advice and guidance of people whose knowledge and experience is equal to or greater than my own.
Nice.
So normally like in other meditation techniques where you would maybe invoke your ancestors or your guides or things like that, that's sort of doing it in a very non-denominational kind of way.
Right.
And then you enter into these different states of consciousness that they give very like pseudoscience-y names and stuff like that. So the first like three tapes, one is just basically an introduction, like explaining how binaural beats work to you. The second one is basically like an extended trance induction of being like, okay, so imagine, let your jaw relax, let your eyelids relax, like let your, the muscles in your face, like, you know, typical stuff that you would get in a meditation guide or a hypnosis or whatever. So basically it's like, now you know what this state of relaxation is.
Yeah.
And so you can do it at will.
Right.
If you practice hard enough.
Right.
And so the first three tapes are based, I keep saying tape. I don't know what it's you like call it tape. Now, because it's obviously not on a, on magnetic tape.
No.
It's an MP3.
Yes.
The
first
so anyway,
series,
on this,
yes.
Yes. So on this track, so I, the one that I just got to, this fourth one, I had just moved on to 2 days ago because I was really trying to practice the other ones. Mm-hmm. And it's this weird exercise where you do it a couple of times where you open up your box and you feel the radiation of fear or whatever.
Oh, my God. I need this.
And it also reminded me of there's a sort of pseudo Buddhist modern meditation technique that's also trademarked, but it's called feeding your demons. And it's really interesting. So it's this idea of like, you imagine whatever like anxiety or fear or issue that you have, and you imagine it as like a little goblin demon guy, and then you interact with it and like you ask it what it wants or what it needs, and you basically like quote-unquote feed it,
give
or,
it
like,
to him,
give it. It, yeah. You know, so basically it's like, what do you, so instead of seeing it as something you need to ignore or shove aside or, you know, snap out of and get rid of, it's sort of like giving you this sort of narrative externalizing story for you to interact with something so you can maybe gain some insight or like
maybe look at what your real needs are, like
so to me it was very similar to that. Of course mine was super literal. So, because I was like trying to feel the radiation of fear, but that wasn't really speaking to me. So I basically felt in there and pulled out like these different like little animals.
Oh,
they were like little Pokemons.
Yeah, sure. I mean,
then they would kind of transform and float away. So I'd love to go back and look at my notes and kind of interpret what these things were.
Yeah.
And like what they looked like and sort of interpret that as what specific, because it doesn't ask you to like identify in words of fear. Like,
right.
Oh, I'm afraid of
XYZ. Yeah.
Public speaking or whatever.
Right.
Or, you know, like I'm afraid for the health of my loved ones or.
Right.
You know. It's not asking you to identify it. It's just like reach in a box in your brain and like feel around for fear.
It's like the box in Dune. Oh, my God.
It kind of is. Yeah.
What's in the box?
Pain.
Oh, I love it. That's
so yeah, that actually ended up being totally similar to both of these fucking cards.
Yeah, no shit, I'm totally gonna try that meditation. That sounds amazing, because I want to like compare and contrast if we both are doing it. That sounds really cool, because I've been meditating for a good like a little over a year solid, like actually a year and a half solid, because I've like on and off my entire life really, but like this is the first time that I have done it every day without fail for like at least 20 minutes, if not longer. And I think it's really giving me, you know, all the benefits of meditation. I mean, I don't have all of those yet, but I do have that space that we're kind of talking about, like with the hanged man, with the hermit, that suspension of time, in that you don't always feel like you have to fill that silence all the time. You can suspend a moment and kind of have a think on something before you just jump into the next action. Like, I do think that meditation is helping me arrive in that state more frequently than I used to. So that's a pretty good thing, instead of always constantly reacting like the devils did to Carolina last night. But like, instead of being a reactionary being able to take things in and respond instead of react, because to me, those are two different things. So I don't know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, and I feel like that, like your description of the feeling of meditating, of sort of suspending your inner narrative and just like being and vibing for a minute, is very much what the hanged man is depicting.
Yes.
You know, this idea of like, he's literally suspended.
Just hanging there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just hanging out.
Hanging out. Yes. Wow, I think we did a really great job at these two cards. This was so much fun. Oh my God. And we went in a total direction that I did not expect.
Yeah, a lot of like weird coincidences sort of popped up.
Yeah, because when I first read
connections that I was not thinking of when we started talking.
Same, because when I read these two, you know, I kind of read what the, you know, historical meanings for both of these cards are. I'm like, well, they're not 100%. They're similar in that they're, you know, people are alone and solitary and doing this kind of introspection, but I feel like the hangman is very much like trying to sustain a moment, or trying to like, whereas the hermit is actively seeking out like introspection. But right, like I didn't think about how similar they really are, in that they are both like trying to achieve a certain state in a different way. So I don't know, super cool. I'm so glad we picked this.
Yeah. So happy Scorpio full moon, everybody.
Scorpio flower full moon. Yay. It was beautiful. And I hope everybody did something cool, or at least got to see the moon, or at least got to feel the moon, or I don't know. That seems a lot, like a lot of things. Until next time.
Yeah.
Hocus pocus, bitches.